The Real Ag Radio podcast is brought to you by AIM EC Herbicide from FMC. Make AIM EC Herbicide your first choice tank mix to power up your glyphosate for a truly complete burn-off program. See your local retailer today.
It's time for Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio Channel 147 on Sirius XM. Real Ag Radio and RealAgriculture.com is your home for insight and analysis of the issues that are impacting your farm business. Let's get real and get connected with Real Ag Radio. Welcome to Real Ag Radio here on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM. Sean Haney, your host here on this Thursday edition of the show. Hey, thanks so much for making Real Ag Radio and Rural Radio 147 a part of your workday. And also a big shout out as well to everybody listening on the Real Ag Radio podcast. We've got a farmer rapid fire here today. We're going to talk to four farmers from across the country and get their perspectives on, hey, what are they working on right now on the farm? What's happening? We've got a question of the week. We'll get to that in a little bit. This week's farmers are Dan Petker from Ontario. We've got Brendan Uwerski from Manitoba. Mike Becky is in Saskatchewan. And we've got Rudy Meyer out in Abbotsford, British Columbia. We are also going to hear today from Allison Wilkinson in a product spotlight. She is with FMC. If you have any feedback on today's show, you can, of course, send me an email, shaney@realagriculture.com, or you can find us on social media. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, as well as TikTok. We are Real Agriculture. Or, of course, you can call the Real Ag listener line. It is 855-776-6147. This week's question to our farmers, it should be a surprise. It's been a poll question all week at realagriculture.com, and that is whether or not the government of Canada should back off its idea of implementing a vaccine mandate for truck drivers. That is going to be put into place on Saturday. Now, there was news this morning. There's still a lot of lack of clarity here. There is a story on Reuters that and the Canadian Press that the Canadian government is going to, I guess, back off of the idea that Canadian drivers repatriating themselves, coming back into Canada, would have to be vaccinated and the idea they would have to face a quarantine if not. This is complicated because January 22nd is the White House's plan to implement their own vaccine mandate, which means it's basically a week of reprieve because Canadian drivers won't be able to go south in a week if they are not vaccinated. As of Saturday, as this sits, U.S. drivers that are unvaccinated will not be able to haul into Canada. So I heard from the CTA this morning on Bloomberg, 70% of U.S.-Canada trade happens by truck. So the CTA estimates 15% of Canadian cross-border drivers are unvaccinated, and the number in the U.S. could be as much as 50%, according to the CTA. So we are following this very closely, and we'll ask our farmers what they think about this policy and whether or not the government should back off. And you can vote in the poll as well at realagriculture.com. Just scroll down on the homepage, and you will find it there. Please vote. We want to hear from you. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get started with Farmer Rapid Fire right after this.
When it comes to corn for Western Canada, Pride Seeds offers excellent grain corn and silage hybrid choices. Pride Seeds trial results demonstrate the performance power of our lineup. We're proud to have Canterra Seeds as our Western distributor. Connect with your local Canterra Seeds retailer to secure supply today. Pride Seeds, focused on performance. Proudly distributed by Canterra Seeds in the West.
Whether you're a rookie soybean grower or a seasoned vet, the Soybean School on RealAgriculture.com has exactly what you need to stay in the game. The latest research and the best agronomic advice from industry experts, along with local and global market coverage on demand anywhere, anytime. Make this growing season your best growing season with the Soybean School on RealAgriculture.com.
Peter Johnson at Wheat Pete, RealAgriculture.com. I'm the host of The Word, and I love doing The Word. I love the questions. I love the challenges. I love having to apply agronomics to all over the globe and areas outside of my normal jurisdiction. Also, I love the feedback the most, where growers challenge me, tell me about their plot results, help me to learn. The Word. absolutely the best part of my day.
Smart Nutrition MAP plus MST. Experience the latest, most efficient fertilizer system for delivering sulfur and phosphate to your crops when they need it. Learn how to boost your soil's performance and maximize ROI with Smart Nutrition MAP plus MST at smartnutritionmst.com. We start off this week's Farmer Rapid Fire in Port Rowan, Ontario. We're talking to Dan Petker. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So what's going on the farm right now?
Well, I'm watching the wind blow and wish we had some snow to cover this frozen ground so that even the dust would stop blowing.
Weather's turned cold.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday was our first day or night that we were below minus 10 since, well, last winter. And we need it. And but now we're plus one. So it's topsy-turvy all up and down.
So not a lot of snow cover to this point. December was very mild.
Yeah, December was a wet, wet mess. And it was grotesque for getting the last of the crops off.
Yeah. You've wrapped up harvest completely?
Yep. Everything's parked and we pushed hard like that last, the third week of December. We pushed really hard and found space to store the corn because a lot of stuff was full, but we just wanted to be done.
And how do you feel about those yields?
Well, for the year that I had, where like 36 to 37 inches of rain, where we normally have 18, I'm very happy. Lots of drowned out spots, but where the farms were draining well or the high ground, the yields were awesome, absolutely amazing. But it was a strong, strong average year, yeah, which is pleasing.
Do you have winter wheat in the ground?
Yeah, but it was terrible.
Yeah, well,
the wheat went in absolutely perfectly this year, or in September, and then about 10 days after the wheat all went in, we had 6.5 inches of rain, and it didn't rain for a week after that, and then we had another inch, and then another inch. So the wheat is very, it's rough.
Yeah, and the lack of snow cover doesn't...
Which is concerning, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
we have this cold, bitter wind, and it's going to be hard.
If you do have kill and you decide, I got to rip it out, what do you go back in with?
Well, historically, like most of us would go back into corn, and depending on how commodity pricing goes or fertility prices go, it'll be corn or beans. But our schedule is still going to be corn if we have to. I don't want to, but it will be. I'd rather grow the wheat crop.
Yeah. Well, good for the rotation. Absolutely. But there's a lot of acres that are in the same sort of challenge that you're talking about.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see what it does to like local basis or we're a small drop in the market of wheat acres, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
So how's your planning for 2022 going?
It's almost done. I got we were smart with some fertility pricing and herbicide purchases in the summertime, and got my corn acres basically planned. And really, the only thing that's up in the air for us is what happens with this winter wheat. That's my only real concern.
Yeah, so no real big changes for 22 at this point for you?
Nope. Nothing crop wise. Well, other than like we're pulling out of the hay market. We typically grow, 100 acres of hay for like local horses and stuff. But those margins have gotten so tight that it's just not worthwhile to play in.
So what's driven the margins so tight?
People are cheap.
I thought horse people paid anything for good hay.
Oh yeah. Well, they say that, but do they come through that way? No. But it's also like replacement cost for fertility is really what offsets that profit margin out here.
Yeah.
And this year was so wet. We typically get our three cuts, and we had 1.5 cuts of hay this year out of what we got to put into the barn. So we had some hay that it just got rained and rained and rained and rained on. Half of that we found a beef guy to take. And I lost my shirt with it, and the rest we just spread back onto the farm, and it just turned moldy and junky in the windrow.
Have you started to pick away at all on sales on 22 crop?
Yep. Yeah. We're probably 15-20% sold for corn and beans. And, but that's also when we made our fertilizer purchasing in the summer and the fall, I sold crop up against it so that at least we know that part is covered.
Yeah. Managing that position. Risk management, that you're doing some risk management on the margin. You're matching the two.
That's right. And that is a kind of a key way to some sort of success.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think what's gained a lot of the attention through the wintertime here, of course, has been input prices for sure.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy. We've watched like UAN go up $300 a ton, if not more now, from the end of August until now. So what are we in January? $300 a ton is significant. And basically MAP or potash or AMS or KMAG, everything is just, if you can get it or if your supplier can supply you, everything's at least $1,000 a ton now, which is absurd.
Yeah. Are you typically like a July, August buyer?
Yeah, like for my liquid nitrogen needs, yes. If my cash flow allows, then I would also be buying lots of my potash for fall broadcast. And around here, a lot of like the next year's crop fertilizer, that marketing usually gets done January, February, March. And that's when the retailers are willing to take an order or a price. If I was set up, I would buy that stuff in the summertime beforehand.
Yeah. So right now, as you look at the year ahead, you've done a lot of planning, right? You got last year's crop finished finally, and you got your plan almost done. You got some of the crop marketed. You're taking care of your nutrient needs. What's your biggest worry right now? What's keeping you up at night as you think about this season ahead?
Nothing.
I like it.
Nothing. Well, like who knows? But input pricing is always a difficult part of it, and knowing when to pull the trigger on some of the marketing. But I mean, I got other things I worry about, like social things or family things that keep me up. But the business is, after a while, like this is the business. Like this is what we do, and build a callus towards some of it and try to take a lot of the emotion out. And we make the best choices that we do at the time with the information we have.
Your preparation. I'm just assuming this. Okay.
Yeah.
As I listen to your preparation though, I think it allows you to be in that mind space.
Oh, big time. Like, my spreadsheet for managing the farm is already planned, or like, it's planned 2 years out, and then 3 years, like then the 5 year outlook is roughed in already. Of course, there's always, like, when you look that far into the future, like there's obviously some assumptions and guesstimates, but it just helps kind of keep focus, and it takes that emotion and the anxiety out of the decision process. Where I have anxiety is, did we pick the right floor color for the house? Or the new windows or the new roof.
Oh, that's good. Hey, Dan, this week's question has to do with Saturday's, it's Saturday's January 15th. The government is intending to put in a vaccine mandate for truckers, on cross-border truckers.
Yeah.
Should the government delay the vaccine mandate for truckers? Yes, no, or yes, but with a new deadline?
Oh, man. I don't know. Yes, but a new deadline, I guess. But how long do we keep punting? And and what percentage of cross-border truckers are not vaccinated already versus the entire trucking body? I don't know.
CTA, the Canadian Trucking Alliance, estimates 15%
that are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
And then the further math is how much tonnage does that 15% carry versus the rest?
Good question.
And really, what kind of impact will it be? Are they private haulers that are just moving car parts? Are they private haulers that are running food from California to the rest of Canada or from the Florida greenhouses? I don't know. It's a huge, So there's an economic question versus a social question with huge overlap. I'm glad I don't have to answer, or I'm glad I don't have to be the one to make that decision.
You and I both. Hey, Dan, thank you so much for your opinion and update what's going on in your farm. All the best, team. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, hope so. See ya.
We've got more Farmer Rapid Fire coming up here in a little bit, but first we're going to hear from FMC in a product spotlight right after we come back.
If you're involved in the agriculture industry, it's important to stay informed on all the latest issues affecting your business. At realagriculture.com, we offer fast, reliable news, information, and insights to help you keep on top of all of the latest in Canadian agriculture. Visit realagriculture.com and sign up for our free daily newsletter covering everything from news, agronomy, animal agriculture, and much more. Visit realagriculture.com/subscribe today.
Whether you're seeding, harvesting, or anything in between, the Wheat School on realagriculture.com has you covered. Timely agronomic information from industry experts available online anytime. Give your wheat crop a good start and a great finish with the Wheat School on realagriculture.com, brought to you by C&M Seeds, Syngenta Canada, and the Alberta Wheat and Barley Commission.
As you look ahead to the next growing season, there's a lot to consider when it comes to your crop. You need every possible advantage available to you. The Pulse School on realagriculture.com has everything you need to make the best choice for you and your farm. On-demand videos with leading industry experts available anywhere, anytime. Go into the season confident and ready with the Pulse School on realagriculture.com.
FCC Ag Expert Farm Management Software wants you to win a new Polaris Ranger side-by-side. Enter the Gear Up contest when you sign up for Ag Expert Accounting or Ag Expert Field. It's free. Learn more at agexpert.ca/gearup. And welcome back to Real Ag Radio. It's now time for a product spotlight with FMC. We're talking right now to Allison Wilkinson. She's a product manager for Burnoff, Precision Pack, and In-Crop Herbicides at FMC Canada. Allison, how are you?
Good, thanks, Sean. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. So today we're going to talk about AIM-EC herbicide. What is it?
So AIM-EC herbicide is a pre-seed tank mix partner that's intended to power up your pre-seed application to provide you with a quick and effective burn-off. It's also a unique Group 14 mode of action, which is important for controlling the Group 2 and Group 9 resistant weeds in your field. And the nice thing about AIM-EC herbicide is it is a flexible option for you. So it has multiple rates that can be applied before all of the major crops. And it can also be tank mixed with multiple burn-off products and partners.
Oh, I like that flexibility. That sounds good. So you mentioned powers up in your description of AIM-EC herbicide. Can you expand on what you mean by that?
For sure. So at FMC, we really consider AIM-EC herbicide the cornerstone of a resistant weed management strategy. Like I mentioned previously, it's a Group 14 mode of action. And in your field and in internal trials, AIM-EC herbicide really boosts the performance when it's added to a burn-off tank mix partner. So when we tank mix it with our glyphosate or other burn-off partners, we see faster symptomology in the field, improved weed control on those really hard to kill weeds you're going after, like kochia, the volunteer canola. And when paired with our Express brands, the combination is both fast and systemic, which is a real game changer for your weed control, providing you with longer lasting weed control, as well as that fast systemic burn.
Well, as a product manager, you're focused on all the features of a product like AIM-EC herbicide. From your perspective, what sets AIM-EC herbicide apart from some of the other pre-seed add-ins?
Right. So AIM-EC herbicide is the Group 14 unique active, and it's also providing you with that ultimate flexibility in your field. We do have three different rates that are registered for AIM-EC herbicide that allows you to really tailor your application based on your unique weed spectrum and pressure, also the size of your weeds that you may have in the field at that time. It's an excellent tank mix partner. It performs really well with 2,4-D, bromoxynil, and glyphosate. And having that range of choice in your tank mix partners is really important, especially for this year.
Okay, you've mentioned this three rates a couple times. How do I know which rate I'm supposed to be using?
So So there's a few different ways you can go about it. All of our information is available on our website at ag.fmc.com. You can find charts that will help you identify which rate to go with based on the weed pressure, the weed size, as well as the weed species that you're targeting. And that's the best way to decide on which rate is best suited for your field and for your needs.
Yeah, like that kind of flexibility really presents the opportunity to tackle the troublesome weeds you have in your field with the right strategy. I think that flexibility is a pretty critical thing, especially with all, you know, with expanding farms, the amount of acres we're trying to cover. That flexibility really adds to versatility when it comes to trying to get those weeds killed.
Absolutely. And in a year that we've seen such a variety of weather, such a variety of moisture and different challenges, really ever-changing weed pressure and weed spectrum is going to be definitely unique to your field and to your farm. So the ability to choose the specific rate for your needs really is a game changer for AIM EC Herbicide.
Allison, if somebody wants more information on AIM EC Herbicide, where do they go?
Like I mentioned before, you can find all the information that you need regarding our products, our labels, and anything else FMC related at ag.fmc.com.
Allison, thanks a lot for joining us here today for this product spotlight on Real Ag Radio.
Thanks so much, John.
That was Allison Wilkinson. She's product manager with FMC Canada. We'll be right back on Real Ag Radio here on Rural Radio 147, only on Sirius XM.
This is Lindsay Smith of RealAgriculture.com, and I'm inviting you to join me for another round of the Agronomy Geeks podcast. We're expanding our territory, so to speak, this year, and getting the story behind even more of the people that help you, as farmers, do what you do best. Give us a listen. That's the Agronomy Geeks podcast on RealAgriculture.com or anywhere you get your podcasts.
As you head out into the field this season, the Corn School's got you covered. Everything from tillage discussions, weed control info, field trial results, yield strategies, and more. The Corn School on realagriculture.com has the information and advice you need to help you succeed. Brought to you by Pride Seeds and BASF. Corn School episodes are available at cornschool.com, from realagriculture.com, or as a podcast from your favorite streaming service. Download the latest episode today.
MNP, your trusted business partners and leading ag business advisory firm in Canada, proudly serving clients from coast to coast. Take your operations business planning to the next level and visit them today at mnp.ca. And we took the Farmer Rapid Fire into Arburg, Manitoba. We're talking to Brendan Uwerski. Hey, Brendan, how are you?
Good, you?
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty good, So what are you working on right now on the farm?
Oh, we've been taking some grain out to go get clean. We got some of our own wheat seed getting cleaned right now. And was doing some tires that I had some issues on the skid steer and nails in the trailer tire of the Sammy, and trying to get into the barns to get some washing done. That's
okay.
It hasn't got done.
In the barn, so what kind of livestock do you got?
We grow turkeys. We're turkey farmers, commercial.
Nice. So how's the turkey business been?
It's been pretty good. There's been some lulls and there's been some cutbacks throughout the last little bit, but it's been turning around lately and coming back up. The pandemic's helped a bit and then kind of not helped. It's gone up and down, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you say turkey, I think, of course, Thanksgiving and Christmas, but turkey, those are obviously the big demand times of the year, but yeah. It is a year-round sport as well.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, one issue that we have in our industry is we don't have the people eating turkey year-round. That's exactly like you said, the Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas type of thing, where your turkey, whatever you do with your chicken, your turkey you can take right over. And in my opinion, I actually prefer to eat the turkey than chicken. So
there you go. Okay, so now you mentioned you're doing some shop work. Do you do all your own shop work?
I wouldn't say all of it, no. We do a bit. I do have a shop at home that we can pull in some tractors and vehicles and whatnot to work on. Some of the bigger stuff depends what it is. We like taking our combine in to get done for uptime guarantee for the year that we know we have another one going. But try to do the most easy maintenance and whatnot ourselves.
Yeah, you mentioned some tire issues. Have you had any trouble getting replacement tires at all? So many supply chain issues out there. I'm always interested in what people are actually experiencing on the ground.
No, I haven't had any tire issues. We actually just ordered two for our air seater, and that seems like that's going to be all good. But no, everything on that side, we got some steer tires in the semi put on and whatnot, and winter tires for the vehicle. No, that's been no problem for me.
That is good to hear. How's the 2022 crop plan looking?
Oh, it's looking pretty good. I've actually been working on that lately quite a bit and getting it all figured out and all the acres and chem and fert and getting back some fertilizer recommendations now after we got some of the soil tests back, and quite interesting, and should be hopefully a really good year.
Yeah. Well, obviously with the rise in fertilizer prices, everyone's trying to get their, you know, maybe sharpen their pencils a little bit. What did some of those soil tests tell you? I guess that's going to relate a little bit back to what last year's crop was like, but what'd you see?
Oh, it was high nitrogen for sure on a fair bit of fields. I got some up into over 200.
Oh, wow.
There was also turkey manure put on that one field, I'm pretty sure, where it was previous fall. So I think that kind of happened. But there's been some fields where I've seen 150s, 120s throughout it. So, and then there's no manure on those ones. So that's kind of nice that we're not going to have to pour the nitrogen in and pour some of the fertilizers through everything this year.
Yeah, for sure. So on a field that has 200 residual, what are you doing? You putting on corn? What are you doing?
Actually wheat going there. That's the rotation that happens to be. We had canola there last year, and that field actually completely regrew and was yellow corn to the corner, and we ended up having our neighbor come in and pro-till it back under because we were like, 6 weeks we need of frost-free days to hopefully get something out of this, and I cannot see that happening.
Yeah. So like, what's your ideal start date? Because, you know, depending on where people are across the country, they've got different goals on, okay, if we can start this week, we're good, or that would be ideal. So for you, we're early January, looking ahead, what's kind of your ideal time in the spring to get started with planting and seeding?
Beginning of May would be ideal. That's kind of what it's been lately. We've been drier up here. Like as a kid, I remember not until later of May and June, but since I've been going, it's been getting earlier than heck. This year, end of April, we actually put in some wheat, and that's very early for us up here. So beginning of May, as soon as she's dry and she's good, usually we're trying to rock and roll, but sometimes let's hold the horses. Maybe we should wait for a little bit of wheat growth that we should hammer before, but Dad doesn't know. Get that seed in the ground, he says.
Early bird gets the worm, so to speak. So obviously with the residual that you talked about on some of your soil tests, last year, quite dry?
Very dry, yeah. We had, I don't know what the total stretch was, a month and a half of no rain at all. So it was pretty ugly turning. We had some very poor canola yields, wheat yields in the 30s. Late rains helped our beans. Some of our beans kind of actually turned out fairly well. I can't complain too much on that side, but same thing, oats, same thing, did not do well.
How's the moisture situation now?
I would say we're fairly good. Like we've got a lot of snow up here in Antro. Like there is feet of snow up here right now. I know that's not a whole heck of a lot of help to add to the moisture, but it's definitely going to help. And for the first time on our farm, we did a lot of zero-till. We just went with the harrow and kind of tried to spread stuff out a bit, and that's it. So that's very new for us.
Yeah. So on the turkey side, how has the feed situation been?
We actually have our own feed mill. So we make, after 4 weeks, we start making our own feed with our wheat and peas that we grow. And then we just buy a supplement from Master Feeds that they deliver, depends on the size of bird. We still haven't got feed prices yet. Me and Dad were talking about that the other day, wondering and kind of worried what that's going to look like coming up. That's going to be interesting, where pricing is going to be on all that.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, really appreciate you joining us here, Brandon. I know you're an avid listener of the program. Really, really appreciate you tuning in and being a rookie here on the Farmer Rapid Fire. But before I let you go, we got to get to this week's question. Now, we've been covering a lot this potential government mandate of truck drivers on vaccines. So this week's question is, should the government delay the vaccine mandate for truckers? Yes, no, or yes, but with a new deadline. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't see that being a good idea at all, trying to mandate a vaccine for truckers. I just see that backfiring and losing a lot of guys coming across the border and trying to bring stuff as farmers. And as we know, we need those people on the road to be delivering stuff that we need. Like, that just scares me trying to do that. Like, I understand we need to try to get out of this pandemic, and the vaccines are the way. Are they? I don't know. But no, that's not going to help anything. The rules that they have, if you're not vaccinated, you can't basically go anywhere anyway. So what are they gaining by this?
Brandon, really appreciate you joining us here today on the Farmer Rapid Fire.
Thank you, Sean. Have a good day.
And we take the Farmer Rapid Fire into Davidson, Saskatchewan. We're talking to Mike Becky. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm very good, Sean. How about you?
Pretty good, man. Hey, what's going on the farm today?
Not on the farm. I'm doing my winter job. I'm back trucking for the winter.
Okay.
So I got a load of corn on sitting at the ethanol plant in Belle Plaine.
Oh, okay, cool. So is this all doing trucking for yourself, or you do it for other customers? What are you doing?
No, I work for a friend of mine. I've been doing it for 21 years now.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. From a farm perspective, kind of get your mind off the farm a little bit, get out, see some roads, some windshield time. You probably spend some of that time thinking about your own operation.
All the time.
This week was crop production show in Saskatoon. Boy, attendance didn't look very good. Did you make it down there?
No. I guess probably won't make it. Just do if we're a little busy in the truck, so I'll just keep doing this.
Yeah. What's your thought kind of on farm shows, Mike? Like I said, attendance was quite poor based on what I've seen from some people posting pictures and stuff. Like, do you miss it, or like, do you think they're going to change? What are your thoughts?
I think the ones in the summertime, like Ag in Motion and Farm Progress Show, are a little better. I'm not much of a guy to walk from booth to booth in the wintertime and that kind of stuff, but I like Ag in Motion with the different stuff that's out there, you know, from crops to machinery to, you know, and it's a little nicer out and you can just walk around and take your time and you're not confined inside the building.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from there. Okay, so how's the planning coming for the 2022 growing season for you?
Well, I guess everything is, I wouldn't say set in stone, but pretty much have it all figured out. We aren't straying too far from what we've been doing. So I don't know, I got some anhydrous put out this fall on all the stuff that we're going to put canola and flax down on, and they kind of wouldn't sell me any more anhydrous. So I haven't bought the rest of the N that we need yet. So I'm hoping maybe that the price is going to go down a little more. It went down some, but not a whole bunch.
Yeah, we're starting to see a little bit of softening. So there is potential there for sure. A lot of people paying attention to some of the reduction in gas prices and things like that. But there is a chance, man. I guess a month ago I would have said, I don't know if it's going to drop. But now it sure seems like we are seeing a bit of a softening, which we'll see if people have buyer's remorse or not. Like you said, the price has barely moved. It's gone down, but it's still a lot higher than it was a year ago.
No, exactly.
Yeah. But you mentioned that you're at the ethanol plant there. Long lines at all, or
it's kind of hit and miss. You know, some days there's long lines. Some days it's not bad. Today they got a few days that they haul wet cake out of here, so that kind of slows down the process because the wet cake trucks are going into weigh once they get loaded and out, so you got to kind of let them in line. So it slows it down a little bit, but it hasn't been terrible.
Now, Davidson was one of the areas I remember talking to yourself and other growers from that region through the growing season. A lot of some challenges. So what's the moisture situation looking like right now here in the early part of 2022 as we start to think about this coming seeding season?
It's not, well, I'll put it this way. We're sitting a lot better than we were last spring as far as moisture goes. Definitely have a lot more snow. I don't know. Some guys want to see a whole pile of snow. I'd like to see it for the guys to fill dugouts up and that. But really when it comes down to it, snow doesn't really amount to a whole lot for spring moisture in the soil.
It's that spring rain that you're really looking forward to.
Yes. Like I said, there was enough moisture this fall to put down anhydrous. So I guess that was a bonus as to where the year before it was, you know, just too dry the previous fall, yeah. The last year. So should help speed some things up in the spring. And if we get some timely rains in the spring, hopefully things will start turning around.
We talked a little bit about input prices here a little bit earlier on the 2022 crop. Have you picked away at some sales on the 22 crop, or are you keeping your powder dry? What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. I'm a little gun shy. I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people in that camp. You're in a very, very large club there. I think that's been my perception. So,
I know just from, I started back working, the beginning of November, and this is a strange year, like around home, you don't see any grain trucks moving, or like there isn't hardly anything going into the elevators in our area. We've been mainly working away from home. We spent a few weeks down in the Carnduff area and farther south and to the east where there's been some grain. But right around home, we just picked up our first off-farm loads here the beginning of the week since I started back.
Okay, Mike, this week's question actually has to do with what you're doing right now. It's trucking. So we've been talking here the last couple of weeks about the potential vaccine mandate for cross-border truckers that is coming here this weekend. So in your opinion, should the government delay the vaccine mandate for truckers? Yes, no, or yes, but with a new deadline?
I don't think it's going to matter whether they postpone the mandate. The guys that aren't vaccinated right now, I don't think it's going to change anything for them. So I don't really think it's going to matter what they wind up doing, in my personal opinion. I know there's a lot of chatter of something's going to take place on the 23rd, 24th year of January. So,
yep, that's the U.S. That's when the U.S. is going to do that for Canadians going south. We'll have to be vaccinated if they don't delay that mandate there.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see. It's really going to throw a wrench into the program if the trucks stop moving.
Yeah. Well, and we're the real concern. We talked to the CTA earlier this week, and one of the things that they mentioned is that if they move forward with a mandate for federally regulated industries, trucking would fall under that, and potentially that would impact interprovincial travel as well, which right. that even grabs a bigger swath of drivers.
Yes, it definitely would.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, keep on trucking. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I know you're super busy and you're right there at the ethanol plant right now, so I'll let you go. And thanks a lot for joining us this week on the Farmer Rapid Fire.
Anytime, Sean. Take care.
When we come back on Real Ag Radio, we're going to finish up in Abbotsford, BC, and hear how the cleanup and repairs are going in that area after those BC floods. You're listening to Real Ag Radio, Rural Radio 147, and we are, of course, on Sirius XM.
Infuse some energy into your next corporate event, customer meeting, or conference with Real Ag Radio, Canada's national agriculture radio show. Create a unique experience at your next event with host Sean Haney, broadcasting Real Ag Radio live on Sirius XM, featuring exciting guests, captivating interviews, and the latest news from the agriculture community. Contact advertising at realagriculture.com or call 587-787-1795 to book your on location with Real Ag Radio today.
Canola and its beautiful bright yellow flower blankets the prairies every growing season with 20 million plus acres. There's one place you need to go to get all your canola agronomic information, canolaschool.com. That's where you'll find all you need to know about seeding, disease, weeds and insects, harvest and marketing. Engaging and informative content all at your fingertips when you need the information. Visit canolaschool.com, brought to you by Invigor Hybrid Canola and BASF Canada. And we finish up this week's Farmer Rapid Fire in Abbotsford, British Columbia. We're talking to Rudy Meyer. Hey, Rudy, how are you?
Great.
So, Rudy, Abbotsford, when I think Abbotsford, I think about some of the horrific situation that transpired there at the end of 2021. How is the area recovering?
Still recovering, I'd have to say, because there's a lot of people that are still displaced. There's a lot of struggles that people are going through, not only just basic residents, but farmers as well. There's some farmers that have been out of their barns for 4 to 6 weeks. There's families that have been out for almost 8 weeks. There's, you know, there's a lot. You want a list? I can give you a list, but that's usually the easiest answer I can give. But there's now both the step after that is kind of people just getting back to the houses, renovating, replenishing those houses. Farmers, you know, they're trying to, you know, whoever were displaced, moving their animals back. Some that are, you know, trying to, I guess, replenish the animals that they lost. A lot of feed loss is huge. Grain costs are extremely high right now. And on top of that, pretty much anything that was planted in grass was lost. Pretty much anyone there's a large portion of farmers that lost crop loss to this winter. Like I talked to my older brother, he owns a dairy farm, and he's probably going to plow 400 acres under this spring because he's not going to wait. He knows it's not going to come back, and we're probably in the same boat and not that much land, but we're going to be plowing definitely 50, 60, maybe 100 acres under, and just try to get plowed under and planted early. And then again, if that's going to be a struggle on its own, where we're going to be probably fighting each other for grass seed in spring as well. So those are other mitigating costs, and people are trying to get alfalfa. And alfalfa is hard to just not, it's not only expensive now, it's about $100 more than it was before the flood, but the problem is getting it here. The number 5 highway is shut down. The number 3 highway is shut down. The number 8 highway is gone that connects Merritt to Suspension Bridge. Most truckers that are lucky enough to get, a pardon, they're able to cross the border in Alberta, come across the states and come back up from the states because travel restrictions are so hard. You know, you need a permit to truck, you need to actually apply for a permit to actually drive the number 5 north-south because it is wrecked. The number 5 highway is absolutely destroyed. The number 3 highway is barely squeaking through. The number 1 highway is our only safe haven, but again, to go the long way around to get to Alberta is hard. Like I said, just getting farmers back is hard. It's just, and a lot of us, I've talked to a bunch of them. Some of the older farmers are like, I don't even know if it's worth it. Some guys don't have a family, a son or daughter to transition to. So they're just like, well, I have the amount of money that they have to invest to get going, not only on the dairy side, but there's poultry guys, like the chicken guys were hammered. Those and chickens aren't very tall, so they drowned, right? But the cows were a little bit better. But again, there were some losses. The hog, one guy owns 3 hog farms. He lost all of them, all 3 of his hog farms here. The blueberry guys are underwater. I have a family friend down the road. His turf farm industry is destroyed. He
Rudy, how's everybody holding up? Like, you know, a lot of that is the physical damage.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know, that you, there's a path to repair. The timeline is what's going to be a bit of a challenge, but how is everybody holding up from a spirit and emotional perspective?
Well, the community has been strong. We have a local dairy farmer here, called Crossroad Dairies, by the family of, Aaron's family. They were kind of the central hub. They were the central drop off. So they cried, open up their shop to pretty much food and supplies. So anyone that needed to eat every day, coffee, they were there, cleaning supplies, you know, diapers, canned foods, they were there. And then the Ministry of Agriculture was here. And, you know, a lot of farmers were required to take water samples. Again, they created a central drop-off there. The Arnold Community Church, they were essential for, you know, uplifting the community in their area. They created a drywall dumping area so people that, you know, didn't need to drive into town to drop off their drywall. They were crucial. They're still going. The Yarrowtown hub central. There's another small community rebuilding. I have a sister-in-law named Jimmy Meyer and her friend Haley Jacobs. They donated large amounts of supplies with clean, like disposable gloves, coveralls, gun boots, things like that. And they were going from houses to houses to, you know, just give people the supplies to walk around their yard. The feed company, they're the worst. They can't do anything. They're hand tied to the price of feed, but they at least they were definitely crucial in making sure feed got to the farms. Abbotsford Rugby Club, they were, you know, really big on going around and just cleaning houses. Like, I know they went for 30 days straight, and literally there's like probably 20, 30 guys would just show up and they just clean out your house in 2-3 hours. And that's what they did every weekend. Sometimes it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Some guys had Mondays off. So like the community has really came together. You know, there's, of course, the flood was a hurdle, but, you know, it didn't really weather us as bad as it showed. Like, yes, the physical damage, the mental damage, you know, people are still, you know, they're still pretty messed up and, you know, struggling. And, you know, there's some people that are just their morale is low because, you know, the hill is high to climb. And, you know, most of the time, any farmer tries that they know the winter time is usually their time that they try to save money, cut costs, you know, reduce spending in order to save money for the spring for grass seed, fertilizer, corn, you know, maybe that new piece of machinery. So that has kind of been a hurdle for all of us that way. But again, a lot of the communities and especially the associations like the BC Dairy, the Mainland Milk Producers, the Poultry Board, you know, the Blueberry Association, the BC Ag Council, they're huge on getting funding to help out farmers. My twin brother, he lives on the same yard with me. So his house flooded to the ceilings in the basement. So 7 feet, he had a water boiler furnace in the basement and one guest bedroom. So he lost everything that he stored in the basement. He lost all his firewood. He lost the whole bedroom. He lost his cellar. He lost his furnace. And it took him, he didn't get his furnace till the 10th of January. And we had a cold snap of minus 25 through Christmas. And it froze his hot water line because he had a water boiler through his house. So he cracked, the water line cracked on his second floor, not on the main floor, but on the second floor. So he had to pull up the drywall to the ceiling, or pull up drywall to the east side of the house, re-insulate the house. You know, he's been heating his house purely on firewood because he has 3 fire stoves in his house. And he said it didn't even matter on how hot he would. It was still only 6 degrees in his house. So, and that's just my brother. There's other families that have houses that we went through the same cold snap that have no wood stove, didn't even get that thing, don't have a furnace, don't have insulation in their house. Like, they literally would put a propane heater in their house just to keep the temperature up, go away, go to town to go live with their family members or their friends. Like my brother was out of the house for 4 weeks and then he finally came home. And it was the only reason, there's more to it, but it was 4 weeks, 30 days. He was off farm and I was, and my wife and my kids were off the farm 3 weeks. And I was the only one that stayed on farm every night, a great community and support. And the only bad thing was it's not like a barn fire where it's just one farm and you can help your neighbor. No, it was a flood. We were all in the same boat. We all flooded. We all had loss. We couldn't say, hey, can I buy some hay off you or can I buy some silage off you? No, everybody lost alfalfa and straw and round bales. And some guys lost most of their hard pack silage and, our grain towers, the bottom 2-3 feet got moldy. So they have to pump that out. And, there's things that you wouldn't even think about until 3-4 weeks later that you're, I got to fix that.
Hey, Rudy, this week's question has to do with the potential vaccine mandate for truckers that's coming into place possibly this Saturday. In your opinion, should the government delay the vaccine mandate for truckers? Yes, no, or yes, but a new deadline?
I think for vaccine-wise, I think we have no power to push that on the truckers because we are in such a shortage. BC has a shortage of 80,000 truck drivers. So I don't care if you're vaccinated or you're not, I need you. And at the end of the day, I think it's hard to push something such as a vaccine on a personal choice over an industry driven decision. So again, I don't really care for either way, but I don't think there should be a mandate or put down for them because we need them so badly. We're in such a shortage that I think, of course we want to have the availability to supply our community or families with that, but I think it's just too much of a big topic to say that they should do it. It's so hard to be right now. So yeah. my answer is I think it should be up to the personal choice.
Hey, Rudy, really appreciate your opinions and thanks for getting us up to speed on the situation out there in Abbotsford, BC and the greater area. Hey, thanks so much for joining us this week on the Farmer Rapid Fire.
Thanks, Sean.
Man, that was a heavy discussion there with Rudy. You could just hear the trials and tribulations that people in that area are going through because the media, the mainstream, you don't hear about it on the news anymore, but the recovery still goes on here today. So I appreciate Rudy joining us in the Farmer Rapid Fire. You can hear the entire conversation. We're going to post it at realagriculture.com because there's more on that. I had to cut it down. Rudy gives a full, there's a lot of heartbreaking stories that he tells me that'll be in the entire post that we'll put at realagriculture.com. We heard from our truckers, not in favor for sure of the vaccine mandate for truck drivers. There is some confusion, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, in terms of what is going to happen. All eyes now on whether or not the U.S. backs off that January 22nd mandate where Canadian truckers would have to be vaccinated to cross into the U.S. And of course, as of this Saturday, as it sits now, U.S. truckers cannot come north to Canada if they are unvaccinated. So I think this is the story of the week that we're following very, very closely. Hey, if you have any feedback on today's show, you want to share your thoughts and opinions on vaccine mandates for cross-border truckers, give me an email, shaney@realagriculture.com. Or, of course, you can find us on social media. @realagriculture is our username across all the platforms. As well, you can call the Real Ag listener line, 855-776-6147. Thanks, everybody, for getting real and getting connected with Real Ag Radio. And we will, of course, chat again tomorrow. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Real Ag Radio. This podcast has been brought to you by AIM EC Herbicide from FMC. AIM EC Herbicide, the cornerstone of your resistance management program and your best tank mix partner for the hottest burn-off. See your local retailer today.